Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
I'm joined by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Smoltzy, tell me this. What's harder, winning a Cy Young or an Emmy Award?
Oh, man. Winning a Cy Young. It takes a lot longer to happen. You know, it's funny when you mention something like that. I just go back to all those years of being predicted to win and just feeling like a failure. But in 96, fortunately, I was able to at least get that off my back because that was starting to bother me.
Download the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Just when you thought it was safe to immerse yourself in some summertime, the NFL is about to start training camps. It's kind of crazy, but it is coming up quick. I really can't believe it. Now, I will not be in full-blown football mode until we get to, late August. But you know, we're mere days away from the Hall of Fame game, which is nutso. In fact, the NFL has got the Jets as its subject on Hard Knocks. And the New York Jets report next Wednesday to training camp. Next Wednesday, it's not even a week away. So you've got the Hall of Fame game coming up in early August. Of course, preseason games that we get excited about, and then they're so awful. And the season starts the week after Labor Day. I'm not trying to rush you when it comes to summer. I'm just saying soak up every second because it'll be here before you know it. The monster, the cash cow will be back before you know it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love to connect with you on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page too. It's one of those weeks in sports where we get to be creative and get off the beaten path and spend some time watching and listening to other products, other projects like this new Netflix series called Quarterback, which I got into on Wednesday evening, and I'm already excited about it. The star of the show will be Patrick Mahomes.
I'm excited for everybody to see this, especially Chiefs Kingdom, and see the journey. I mean, everybody saw the Super Bowl and was excited for it, but they're going to see the step-by-step journey of how we got there, not only myself, but of the whole team, and so I'm excited for everybody to see that. Everybody sees the Sundays, they see the game days, they see the Super Bowl, but they don't see that day-to-day grind, not only myself, but the whole team. And then they also get to see my family and how they support me, and I think Chiefs Kingdom knows them very well, but they're going to know them even better.
So Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and then Marcus Mariota, along with Peyton Manning, who's narrating, just started it. Probably will give you my review as I head through it. But see, that's a good setup to welcome our next guest, Rob Motti, who joins us from the Associated Press. He's the lead NFL writer. And even though it's still a couple weeks until training camps are in full swing, Rob, the NFL is year-round. I hope you've had some time off because ready or not, here it comes. What do you do to prep for the season?
Yeah, Amy, I try to take some time off. And like you said, the NFL never sleeps. So there's constantly something going on, whether it's suspensions for players in the gambling situation or Dan Snyder news that's constantly, consistently always in the news. But I did manage to get a little bit of vacation and squeezed in at the same time. You know, if you're going to get a one-on-one with Jalen Hurts or Patrick Mahomes in that time span, I'm going to come off vacay for a few minutes. I'm going to do that and roll some of those interviews out. So it's been a good time, but I feel like, you know, as we get closer to training camp, it's back to like being a kid when the summer's over and you're ready to go to school. Summer's over and now I'm ready to go to school, except I don't come home at 3 o'clock and do homework. It's just constant for the next 7-8 months. It's going to be a grind.
Yes, it absolutely is. And yet I love the fact that it's so compelling and that fans can get into it year round now, really. But as you point out, it does require a lot of us too. You mentioned the gambling and I'd love to get your reaction to that as someone who's covered the sport for a long time. What kind of problem do you think the NFL has on its hands with what we've seen over the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think it's a real problem because we're seeing more players who are being caught, suspended, and then also claiming they're not sure what the rules are. And I think there's a little bit of confusion, maybe. I mean, it's always been don't bet, period. And then all of a sudden that's changed, and now you can't bet on football. That should be understood, that you should not need any kind of classes or anything else. Never bet on football.
Right.
But the fact that you can bet on other sports, but then don't do it from team facility or anything that is anywhere associated with the team, that kind of gets confusing. So my solution to all of this, Amy, would be very simple. If you are a current player in the NFL, coach, whoever you are, ban betting altogether. I know the sports books aren't going to be happy with that, and I know there's all kinds of money involved here. If you made it clear and simple, instead of don't bet on football, but you can bet other sports, but just don't bet from here and don't do that, just don't bet, period. For that 2-3 year period you're in the league, or the 16-year period if you happen to be fortunate enough to play along, don't bet on football. That would be the easy solution. They're allowing players to dabble in the other sports, and that's where it's getting confusing. But I don't know where it's headed. That could eventually get to that point where they just say, hey, let's go back to no betting whatsoever. But the league is making so much money from all of these partners in the sports books and the gambling industry that it's difficult at this point.
And you make a great point. There are players who are actually saying, I didn't know the rules. Now, some are cognizant of the rules and violating them anyway. And I actually thought the Calvin Ridley situation would be a cautionary tale. But as it turns out, not so much. Other guys are willing to try it. They're willing to risk it.
You're right, because when you see a player of that magnitude suspended for a entire season, you would think other players would understand, hey, it's not worth that $5 parlay or that $50 parlay or whatever you're laying down on whoever it is that's playing, but that hasn't happened. And I wonder what happens if a really superstar, big-time player gets caught in this. How is the league going to handle that? Is there a way to, like, avoid at that some point that happening, and you hope that that doesn't happen. You hope that these lessons have been learned, that all of the extra the magnification of this will get to these players and they will understand. But I'm sure at some point somebody's going to slip up and say, hey, I didn't know.
We're so excited to welcome back to the show Rob Motti, who is writing for the AP, but also has an awesome podcast called Faith on the Field, so has a chance to intersect two of his passions. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Chiefs, they not only won the Super Bowl, but Patrick Mahomes, the MVP in both the regular season and the Super Bowl, and is, if possible, his star power is growing. I actually really enjoyed watching him and Travis Kelce in the golf match recently in Vegas against the Splash Brothers. The two of them are a hoot. And sometimes I wonder if people are going to get tired of them. Yeah, I still can't get enough of their personalities and think they're just such great ambassadors for the sport.
It's so great and refreshing to see guys just going out there, being who they are, having fun. And I've always enjoyed Travis Kelce, knew his brother Jason when I was in Philly. And just to see Patrick, the way he handles being a superstar, a megastar, and with Tom Brady retired, he's the face of the NFL unequivocally. It's Patrick Mahomes, and if ever there's going to be a player to challenge Tom Brady's GOAT status, it's Patrick. And he's got a long way to go. He's got 5 more rings, and I don't think anyone will ever get there. But he's the only guy who could potentially, at 27 years old, 2-time Super Bowl champion, 2-time. AP NFL MVP. So, and he gets it. I just love the way he approaches getting better still. No matter what he's accomplished, he's looking at and focusing in on how can I be better every day? How can I continue to do this, sustain the success? And what they have going on in Kansas City with Coach Andy Reid, who's now cemented his status as a Hall of Famer. There's some changes. Amy, Eric Bieniemy is no longer the offensive coordinator there. He's left. He's going to Washington. So there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment, but Matt Nagy steps in. He was there 6-7 years ago as the OC before he went to Chicago. So There's going to be a little bit of getting accustomed to someone else in his ear and all of that stuff for Patrick. But this team's built for continued success. And as you said, it's fun to watch these guys.
You had a chance to talk to Patrick one-on-one for your AP Pro Football podcast. What did you all talk about? I can imagine it's tough to narrow it down when you only have a limited amount of time.
Yeah, and, you know, I wanted to ask him that legacy question because he's young, he's accomplished so much, and I said, do you even think about that? And it's interesting when you talk to different guys, how do they handle that question? How do they approach it? Something, oh, that's too far down the line. He said, no, I think everybody thinks about legacy and how they're remembered. But he said, at the same time, you have to value the moment in hand and trying to be better that season and making sure that you put everything into it so you have no regrets. And he said, as long as I have no regrets at the end of my career, that's what it's all about. It's not about the rings or the trophies or the accomplishments. It's making sure you worked as hard as you possibly can to be the best player you can be. And, you know, I talked to him about repeat. It's been two decades, right, Amy, since anybody, since the Patriots in 03 and 04 repeated. And they know, the Chiefs know how difficult that is because they had that opportunity and lost to Brady and the Buccaneers 3 years ago. And he said, it's just hard. He's like, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. He said, you can do everything the right way and still come up short. They've been to five straight AFC championship games, all hosted at Arrowhead Stadium, and lost two of them. Three times they advanced, two times they win the Super Bowl. So, you know, we had some great conversation, a little bit about what Andy Reid has meant to him and what Eric Bieniemy's departure is going to look like, and had some fun. He's a dad. I got two little girls. He's got a boy now and a girl. So, you know, his diaper games got to be right there as good as his all-pro status on the field. He's got to help out and do a little bit of that too as well.
I'm glad that you brought up Andy Reid because I think their relationship is so unique, and who knows how much longer he has, but you can hear the joy when he talks about that relationship. How would you characterize the way that the two have been able to work together?
I think it's been a perfect relationship, and he said Andy has meant the world to him, and he said that if he went somewhere else, he may have been forced to play a different kind of way and not be who he is as a quarterback. And he credits Andy for helping him and allowing him to be that playmaker, to be that dynamic off-schedule plays. And, you know, we see Patrick Mahomes throwing balls left-handed sometimes and everything that he does. Andy allows him to do that. He doesn't try to fit him into an image or want him to be somebody he's not. And, Andy gets it. He learned in Philadelphia what it takes to win a Super Bowl. Unfortunately, didn't do it there for the fans and for the Eagles, but he goes to Kansas City. He lands Patrick Mahomes, makes a point to move up to get him in the draft and kind of hit the jackpot. And I don't think he's done. And I know there was some talk about, hey, potentially that could have been it last year. He's like, I'm having fun. He's got Patrick Mahomes. Why not chase a third ring, a fourth ring, and more? So I think that's the ideal relationship now. You look at Brady and Belichick and now Reid and Mahomes, but I think those relationships are different. With Belichick and Brady, it wasn't quite as friendly as it is. Like, you got Andy Reid imitating Patrick Mahomes, his voice, right? That's something you'd never see Bill Belichick do, and I think it's just a different kind of relationship. It's a very special one, unique one.
Rob Motti is the lead NFL writer for the Associated Press and with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Did you have a chance to ask him about this new Netflix series that he is a part of with Kirk Cousins and Peyton Manning and then Marcus Mariota? I started watching it. It's actually really compelling.
I'm hoping I get another opportunity to talk to him about that too. Specifically, I'd like to see it. And I'm sure it's very compelling. But
yes.
You know, though, Amy, I'm surprised that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid would agree to do something. Now, I know Andy made sure that there were some restrictions and limitations on there, but Andy's always been an all-business guy, right? And no, don't bring in any extra distractions. And that speaks to the relationship that he trusts Patrick enough
right,
to where he can do something like that. Because like it or not, and they could say whatever, that's a distraction. I don't know if you know this, but I know a little bit about reality TV and having some cameras around, and my wife and I did it way back like 10, 12 years ago. It's a big time distraction to have people following you around and everything else. And it's not something that you would expect an NFL team to really agree to. But I guess Andy trusted Patrick to be able to handle that. And it paid off. They won the Super Bowl. It didn't take him off course.
Speaking of reality TV, the Jets are the team that will be part of Hard Knocks. And you talk about the distraction. Now, Aaron Rodgers is certainly used to that. But kind of interesting to think about his first time outside of Green Bay, not only getting accustomed to a new team and teammates and routine and everything else, but also having the cameras follow them around.
Yeah, it's going to be a circus. If it wasn't already, and you know, obviously, you're there in New York. You know what that market is going to be like, and it already has been. And I was asked a couple weeks ago, I forget which show I was on, and who's got the most pressure going into training camp, and I said Aaron Rodgers. And I think now it's even magnified because of all the spotlight, the Hard Knocks, the cameras, and everything else. There's going to be some drama that comes out of it, and I'm sure there's going to be some stuff that's made for TV a little bit. I know how that goes behind the scenes. And here you got a team that was 7-4 and then lost out. They bring in Aaron Rodgers. They're trying to get to the next level. They haven't made the playoffs in forever. It's going to be fun. That's going to be some compelling TV. That's going to be some must-watch TV. And it's good. I'm very interested to see how Aaron Rodgers handles it because he doesn't hold back.
No.
You know that, Amy. He doesn't hold back in his criticism of the media. He doesn't hold back in his criticism of anyone who has a different viewpoint. And I think he's got a raw deal over the past few years. I actually appreciate someone who's going to go out there and try and think for himself. And I like that about Aaron.
Rob Motti, AP lead NFL writer, not only sat down with Patrick Mahomes, but maybe the other brightest star in the NFL at his position. So I need you to hang on, Rob. We're going to ask you about this other really compelling conversation that you had. Got to take our quick break, though, here. Thanks for joining us after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Yeah, yeah, we're working our way toward another summer weekend. But you know, as the summer weekends hit the rearview mirror, that means we're closer and closer to NFL training camps and preseason. And before you know it, whew, the season will be kicking off. So enjoy the summertime while you can. It is After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook. We've got our YouTube channel and then also on Twitter, After Hours CBS. But you're all going to have to wait because we've got a few more minutes here with Rob Motti, who is the lead NFL writer for the Associated Press. And Rob, we talked about your one-on-one with Patrick Mahomes. Really need to be able to catch up with him in the wake of another MVP and a Super Bowl MVP, which came at the cost of the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. And you had a chance to sit down with Jalen recently as well. Two brighter stars you can't find in the league, really, except their personalities are so completely different. So what stands out about your conversation with Jalen?
Yeah, you're right. Their personalities are so different. Like when you're speaking to Patrick, it's fun. It's engaging. There's a lot of energy in the room. Jalen comes from that Nick Saban school of don't give them anything that can be headlines, right? And I don't know if I've covered an athlete who is under a microscope like Philadelphia can be, as difficult as it is, who hasn't said the wrong thing yet since they drafted him in 2020. And back then I was still there. I was in the middle of that. I saw how that went down. Jalen Hurts knows exactly what to say, whether he means it 100% all the time or he's not. He knows exactly how to portray himself the way. And I think it goes back to his background and the way he grew up also as a coach's son. This is a guy who's accomplished so much, yet he's motivated because they lost that Super Bowl. They didn't win that game. As great of a game as he played,
right,
he lost. he kind of carries some of that burden with him with that fumble that turned into a touchdown the other way. And you know, we do the math, 38-35, you don't lose that ball, they can win that game. So he's determined to get back there to win it all. He's working as offensive coordinator Brian Johnson said, he's working like a madman. And here you got a guy who just got paid, and there's some athletes who get paid and then that's it for them. They got paid, they're okay, they're happy, they're satisfied. He's not content. I expect to see Jalen Hurts try to take his game to another level, get even better, improve in certain areas. But I think it's going to be tough, Amy, for the Eagles to bounce back. As good as they are, as talented as they are, as deep as they are, they lost both coordinators. Sometimes there's a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover when you lose. It's hard to go back the next year. Only two teams lost and won it again the next year in the history of the NFL. So I think it might be a little bit – it won't be a smooth sailing this year for Philly.
I saw a quote from your Twitter as you were talking with Jalen. This team has to find an identity for itself. And isn't that a major part of the challenge, is that you're not the team that you were a year ago? There are expectations, obviously, and there's unfinished business, and yet it's still a completely different team with a different mission.
A different mission, different team, lost some players, lost some assistant coaches. Jalen gets it. Jalen understands it. And as a leader, he tries to convey that message. But there are going to be guys within a 53-man locker room who are going to not necessarily mail it in, but walk in and be like, hey, we were here last year. This is what I did. It's hard for every player to have that same kind of motivation, that same kind of determination. And you got to be able to weed out those guys. I think when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 17-18, there was a little bit of a letdown. There were some guys who kind of rested a little bit on the success and the achievements of the past season. So Jalen, as a leader, has got to step up and make sure that these guys understand that you got to carve out your own identity. You're not the same team, that no matter what you did last year, all those accomplishments, they don't mean anything. Everyone's 0-0 at this point going into week one, and everybody thinks they have a chance.
Well, and that's the great thing about it, is that hope springs eternal at the very beginning.
Truth.
So, Rob, you've got your show Faith on the Field. What's new there? Because I know that's a special project to you.
Yeah, and it's something that I'm really passionate about. I'm excited in the next couple weeks. We're going to be adding four new stations, a couple in Florida, a couple in Texas, who are going to air Faith on the Field. So we're continuing to grow, Amy. It's been something for 7 years that I've been able to do. And each time I get an opportunity to sit down with an athlete, if they're a man of faith, if they're a believer, I ask them about what the work that the Lord has done in their life. And cool enough, Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes are both men of faith, and I was able to ask them those questions. So they'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks as we grow and expand and move into new markets and continue to try and reach new people and with a message of hope, joy, and peace. And it's something that I'm really excited about. I've been able to do some Faith on the Field live events recently, one with Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins in Philly, one with New York Jets cornerback Bryce Hall recently, just this past week. So that was really cool to be able to just go speak to some kids, speak to some fans, and just share a little bit about the work God has done in their lives.
Always great when we get to know these athletes away from the field, the court, the ice a little bit, and understand what drives them and where they find not just their motivation, but as you say, their hope and their peace. So make sure you find Rob on Twitter at Rob Maddie, M-A-A-D-D-I. Yes, is the AP lead NFL writer, but also has his show about which he's passionate, Faith on the Field. And so you want to find his Twitter so that you can figure out where to listen and where to grab that audio and those interviews. It's really good to connect with you again. And we still have a couple weeks to go before training camp. So promise me we'll do another like actual football podcast soon.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Amy, always good to talk to you.
Now, before you know it, some of these kind of fun ancillary conversations, yeah, they will fall by the wayside because it'll be time for actual football. But I still have two trips and a few extended weekends before then, including later on this month in Houston, because, yes, everyone wants to go to Houston in July. Yes, that's me. Most people are flying away from Houston in July. I'm going to Houston in July, but you know, there's people there that I love. So yeah, a couple of extended weekends, and then before you know it, it'll be Labor Day and it'll be football. I know it's depressing. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. I have a fun question, I think, to throw out to you, and I'm interested to hear some of your responses. So we'll do that. Also, the PGA Tour golfers have not let it go. They're not going to let it go, nor do I think they should let it go. I'll explain. You'll hear from them coming up.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
All right. Yeah. 1-0 pitch, and he pounces deep down the left field line towards the pole. Home run! Sean Murphy on a tear here in Tampa. And it's 4-0 Atlanta.
This is After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Why, oh, why would we play a Braves highlight coming out of our break? Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's the Braves world, and we're just living in it, at least at this present moment, because the Braves not only dominated the National League All-Star team, but they also have the best record at the All-Star break. And so they deserve a place of honor, at least for now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. They are the only team sitting on 60 wins. But think about it, a record of 60-29. So they're past the midway point, 81 games, the midway point. They're now sitting on 89 games. And it's not as though they're the only team that has played well and really, really consistent stretches, but they've put together, my gosh, multiple longer winning streaks that have been able to kind of distance themselves from the rest of the NL East, even though the Marlins are playing their best baseball in years and the Phillies caught fire a little bit before the break as well. Not to mention the Mets, but they were already so far back that they haven't picked up any ground on the Atlanta Braves. But the Braves own the best record, 60-29. I would know the Tampa Bay Rays, a couple games back now. They really scuffled before the break. Endless possibilities as we head toward the rest of July into August and then September, the stretch run. Teams to watch like the Orioles, who are only two games back in the East. And then thinking about the Cincinnati Reds atop the NL Central with the Milwaukee Brewers just a game back. So that will be a fun race through the summer, but that's a great story with the Reds being on top of that division. The Dodgers, who've had their entire starting rotation on the IL at some point. In fact, some of those guys are still on the IL, yet Dodgers and Diamondbacks right now are tied atop the NL West. So plenty to be excited about. We know the major topic has been the trade deadline, primarily because of Shohei Ohtani and what will happen with the Angels and will they trade him. Most industry insiders and analysts would tell you no way, they're not going to trade him. The Angels are going to hold out hope until the very end in case they can get him to re-sign in Anaheim. And I agree with that. We did a poll, I guess it would have been on Monday night, maybe Monday night into Tuesday morning. And we asked you, would you trade him? If you were the Angels, would you trade him? More than 60% of you said, yes, we would trade him if we were the Angels. I say no freaking way. If there's any chance that you can re-sign him, I say that you do. You keep him and you work your rear end off to try to re-sign him. Do whatever you can. You give away whatever you need to be able to re-sign him. Now, interestingly enough, over the course of the All-Star break in Seattle, what I kept hearing from people is, oh, well, he's obviously going somewhere else. Oh, well, it's only a couple months until Shohei Ohtani is in a different uniform. Do they know that? Or do they think it? Do they know it because they're hearing the buzz around the league? Because Ohtani's camp is indicated that in some way, shape, or form? Or is this more speculation? Just thinking, why the heck would he re-sign in Anaheim? Ultimately, we don't know until it's actually done. But the trade deadline, that will make life interesting for a lot of teams because you've got more teams that are contenders with the three wild cards in each league, la, 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 la. You know how this goes. All right, so rest of baseball season stretches out in front of us. Do not ask me why Major League Baseball, maybe just because the All-Star break and baseball feels like it has the spotlight, that might be the reason. You've got the spotlight for a couple of days, jam as much news in as you possibly can, like the fact that there could be expansion, the Rays, the A's, those are two teams that are moving potentially, because the Rays still are not selling out their stadium, even though they've been one of the best teams in baseball going back now for the past several months. Anyway, this was the time that Major League Baseball chose to announce that the Dodgers and Padres will play in South Korea to open up next season. How about that? Going to take a trip to Seoul, South Korea in mid-March, or I guess mid to late March. The 20th and the 21st, they're going to be in South Korea. Then you've got the Astros and Rockies in Mexico City before baseball starts their regular season on U.S. soil in April, right? So this is more of that trend that we've seen with various leagues where you've got international games. The Mets and Phillies, they will play in London next season, next June. Red Sox and Rays, they're going to play spring training games in the DR in Santo Domingo, the Dominican Republic, in March. So international openers have become all the rage in baseball now. I mean, they've kind of started to do this pretty much every year. Mexico, Tokyo, San Juan, Puerto Rico, Sydney, Australia, and now South Korea. First ever baseball game in South Korea. We know the NFL not only is playing annual games and annual series now in London across the pond, but they've also expanded to Germany. And of course, we've seen games at Estadio de México, and that's something they'd like to do routinely. I think the challenge there is some of the security and just in general, the stadium quality or the stadium not being up to the standard that the NFL is used to. And so there's just a lot of work that has to be done to be ready there. However, committed to Mexico, committed to Germany, London. We've got other sports like the NBA that have taken their shows on the road. And it's working. It is working because we're seeing more and more of an international flavor from the players that are in the leagues like Shohei Ohtani. And we could go on and on about Major League Baseball and the international flair there and how important that is for growing the game. If you've ever traveled to South American or Central American countries, you know that the two things that they watch, the two things they pay attention to, the two things they play, the two sports they play for the most part, are baseball and soccer, baseball and football, their football. I remember spending time in Cuba, in Ecuador, even in Africa. And there'd be kids 2 and 3 years old who could dribble circles around me. Even though in Africa, we were playing on a field with thorn bushes right in the middle, enormous holes. And yet these little kids, they were just so good, so excited to play soccer with anybody who would give them an opportunity. So yeah, you've got soccer, but you also got baseball. From my time in Cuba, baseball was the exit. Baseball was the way to get out if you knew you could potentially break into the major leagues and play in the United States of America. So the international commitment is working for all the various leagues, not only because there are fans that you're finding in other countries around the world, but because there are more and more athletes that are joining these American leagues or these North American leagues from other countries. So it's not going to stop anytime soon. I will be fit to be tied if we end up seeing a Super Bowl moved. No Super Bowl moved to another country. That is our national holiday, our national pastime. So don't do it. Don't do it. I just have a feeling people get nervous that that's where it's going. Super Bowl Sunday moved to If you're going to air it live, Super Bowl, let's just say it's in London. So 6 hours past the Eastern time zone of the United States, 9 hours past the Pacific time zone of the U.S. Think about when it would have to air to make sense for a U.S. audience. People complain about the start time of NFL games and the Super Bowl all the time. Well, that would be complicated, but we're not there yet. I'm worried that it's going to go there, but we're not there yet. My question for you is, what other countries would you like to see host a game in your favorite sport? Whether it's baseball, and South Korea is a bold move, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, maybe it's the NBA, could be the NHL. I mean, we even have a ton of international flair in MLS. Now Messi joining Miami. Lots of crossover there. And soccer, of course, is it's the beautiful game on the global stage. What other nation would you like to see host your favorite sport? One that you might even consider traveling to. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's the name of the show. Speaking of the beautiful game, if you missed it, well, you missed it again, because right now it's the very end of penalty kicks in the Gold Cup semifinal between the U.S. and Panama. So they're replaying it on FS1, so I've had the chance to watch it again in all of its glory. And so that was, other than the ESPYs, the main sports programming that was taking place on Wednesday evening. Yeah, the international flair for sure. But can the United States be relevant and be taken seriously on the international stage? That remains to be seen. Now, internationally, when it comes to the game of golf, Liv has kind of taken the whole international flair and turned it into something completely different. And it's still a thorn in the side of the PGA. So after the top of the hour, we'll let you hear from some of the PGA guys that you know. Actually, they were attending Wimbledon. I saw Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and, oh, Ricky Fowler. He was there coming off of his big win. These guys are getting ready for the Open Championship. And so first, all of them head to the Scottish Open. And that's where they are now, this weekend, before the Open Championship next weekend. And they're still pretty salty about this merger with Liv. And I think mostly it's about being left in the dark, right? Mostly it's about not being consulted, feeling like they were hung out to dry by the PGA and by Commissioner Jay Monahan, who's kind of MIA right now dealing with the medical issue. But I wonder, will it take Monahan's head on a platter, right? Will it take Monahan either stepping down or being ousted as the commissioner of the PGA Tour for these guys to be satisfied? I'm not sure they're going to say it, right? I'm not sure they're going to speak that part out loud. But I do think that because of the way they feel deceived and the way that they feel as though they were kind of, they were asked to defend the PGA Tour publicly, feeling like they were defending the honor of the PGA. And then behind their backs, because the PGA is dealing with extreme financial difficulty, Jay Monahan and some others, they go and they orchestrate this merger to be able to get an influx of cash to the PGA. Still no real details. It's been very hush-hush. But I think a lot of the golfers feel like they were made fools of. A lot of the golfers feel like, again, they were trotted out to be the mouthpiece, be the defenders of the PGA Tour, only to be completely embarrassed. And I would say a little bit held up as almost fools because they defended something, this entity that turned out to be almost like a house of cards. Even worse, they were played like fiddles by Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour until it conveniently served the purposes of the PGA. So will we see Jay Monahan's job be the kind of the peace offering, if you will? And there were these, I guess you call them testimonies. They were hearings on Capitol Hill about this merger. Wait, did you hear what, I think it was Xander Schauffele had to say about what was the hearings, because all the golfers were sent links to be able to watch and documents to be able to read about the merger. And just trust me, they didn't all read them. Anyway, so we'll get to that after the top of the hour. Lots of international flair there, of course, with the golf world. And this whole debate about not just Jay Monahan, but whether or not the LIV Tour will go away, whether or not it will survive this merger, or will that be part of the merger? You have to get rid of the LIV Tour. All right, so we'll get to that coming up after the top of the hour. But what other countries do you think need an NFL game? Where would you like to go? I'd take one in Ireland. I'm not sure Ireland has the infrastructure, but maybe. I'd take one in Ireland. That'd be amazing. Ireland was one of the best vacations, best trips I've ever taken. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.